listening to the Region 10 Report with your host, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com, where the alternative media gets their news. This show will expose the elite domination plan, disinfo agents, propaganda, corporate control, and the UN plan to strip the world of its freedom and the U.S. of its constitution. This is the Region 10 Report with Suzanne Posel, bringing you the real truth behind the news.
Okay, and just watching your broadcasts, and I had written an article dispelling the myth between Peter Lanza and LIBOR scandal, and I had seen that you had done something on that as well, so I was very grateful that this this rumor that then becomes true, because nobody checks the source links, nobody does any research, and the audience can basically be swayed by anyone in alternative media or mainstream media that has a voice or some semblance of influence. And I'm glad that you picked up on that as well and kind of helped me get that word out that just because it sounds plausible doesn't mean that it's actually happening.
That's right. And, you know, that's a very important point, because right now we're seeing this huge rise of alternative media and internet media, and it's the future. I mean, that's where so much is headed. Cable and broadcast have a lot of years left in them, but they've jumped the shark. I think they're kind of on a downward trajectory in terms of viewership. And you, the way you follow those trends, by the way, is by watching what people are doing for entertainment. And if you want to find out what they're doing for entertainment, within a short amount of time, they'll then be doing that for information and news. So while the majority of people are now, in terms of trends, headed away from the broadcast cable model and toward alternative internet sites like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, and their Roku, and they're moving away from that traditional model, same thing's happening with information and news. The danger in all that is that you have some very bad information right now in terms of what's out there. You have some really good information on alternative media, but you have bad information too. So one thing that has to happen is there has to be a real transparent attempt at making sure that people who are writing articles or making claims on the internet, that there's some level of fact-checking that goes into that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. From the beginning of my website, I made sure that my source links were the defense and the crux by which I define what I'm writing.
Yeah.
And so I am very grateful to people like you who create these stories based on the facts and also at the same time dispelling myths, but bringing the facts to everyone so that they know exactly what's going on instead of what they hear on the internet and all the chatter that goes on, because sensational stories are always going to be popular.
Right. Absolutely. And as you said, you know, there's a lot of chatter and there's so much noise out there, and there is, and I'm not saying this was necessarily the case in the Lanza and LIBOR story, but there is also beyond just stories that are done wrong or inaccurately reported or reported on very loose connections, which seemed to be the case there. You know, there was Peter Lanza had some to do with something that could be connected to LIBOR. You know what I mean? And so it becomes almost 6 degrees of separation and therefore becomes a fact. And so there are levels of that, but then there are also levels of disinformation that's out there. And that's one thing that people have to be very careful about, is the idea that you're in a position where essentially, if you do not realize that all the information on the internet is not there for positive reasons, that there is some negative, you know, reason for that, then you're kind of kidding yourself. And I think that that happens at times. So let me ask a question. Are you there, Suzanne? Did I lose you?
She's probably still here. Hi, I'm Vinny Eastwood. In fact, Suzanne's unfortunately just dropped off.
I was going to say, I heard a ringing through, so I wondered if you were going to pop up there, Vinny.
Well, I did. In fact, you know, here I am, you know, like a bird in the Amazon rainforest. Caw-caw! And I also wanted to back you up here in saying that, that there is copious quantities of disinformation. And what I find very interesting is that I've probably engaged in misinformation and disinformation unwittingly a number of times. The difference between me and somebody who does it deliberately is that if somebody points it out, I admit that I'm wrong and recuse myself.
Right. And misinformation, my interpretation that misinformation and disinformation are two different things, right?
So, can I interject here? Because I think misinformation would be like a truth of female beauty pageant. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like misconception would be a pregnant woman's beauty pageant.
Very well said. No, I think you do have this misinformation that's out there. And every journalist on some level at times makes mistakes and has to be able to find a way to correct those mistakes. And transparency is obviously a huge important part of what we do. But disinformation is the attempt, I think, to intentionally misinform people and intentionally alter either the facts of a story or to control the way that a viewer or listener or reader interprets that information. And I think there's a lot of that out there. Some of it is done for profit, and some of it is done to stir the pot and create controversy. And I think some of it is done to distract from the true story that should be covered.
I do think you're absolutely correct on that one. Like, case in point, incredibly important story, according to the media, is this George Zimmerman case. You know what I find very interesting about the George Zimmerman case? Is the picture of his face the night of the murder, beaten to a bloody pulp, which I've only seen just recently because I actually went looking. It hasn't been on the media or anything of that. And so people are operating on zero information, and they didn't know that he'd had the heck beaten out of him by this kid before he shot him. And right. I would have thought any credible journalist would have shown that first. And the answer is, the mainstream media are not credible.
Well, I agree. And without question, this Zimmerman case to me is fascinating. Even to watch after the fact, you have a trial that took place, and now all of a sudden you have a second trial that I'm not sure where this is supposed to happen. It's the court of public opinion. It's the after the trial. Let's figure out whether the jury got it right, whether the judge got it right. Let's allow the DOJ to weigh in on this, allow the president to weigh in. And by the way, let me just say something here too. For your listeners who might be confused about this, you might have heard Eric Holders talking about whether or not the Department of Justice should get involved and file civil rights charges against George Zimmerman. You've heard this, right?
No, unfortunately, I haven't.
Oh, okay. So Eric Holder is talking about the fact that the Justice Department may consider whether or not civil rights charges should be filed against George Zimmerman because it is apparent to the Department of Justice that Zimmerman acted the way he did because of the color of Trayvon Martin's skin. And because of the fact that Trayvon is black, that prompted his action, and therefore it's a civil rights violation. Now, let's be clear on something, and this is something that media is, again, they're not saying, which is that that is a ludicrous statement because an individual cannot commit a civil rights violation against another individual. A civil rights violation has to be the state or government committing an act that discriminates against an individual on the basis of their race, their creed, their religion. That's a civil rights violation.
I don't believe that this would be the first time that the state would hide behind BS in order to accuse somebody of a crime that they normally do.
Well, yeah, and it's stunning to me that you could have a Department of Justice go through this kind of, you know, game that they're going through and claim, oh, we're going to look into the civil rights violation. The other thing the media does, though, is while they're not, you know, checking him on that and saying that this is ludicrous, the other thing that they're doing is we have this quite candidly ridiculous trial. It's important to the family of Trayvon Martin. It's important to the family of George Zimmerman. It's important to the community in Florida. But to make this one trial the focus of the nation is just disingenuous because there are people who die in tragic armed conflicts, beating deaths, drive-by shootings, It happens all the time in this country. That's not to minimize what happened to Trayvon, but also to not exalt it to a level where we're asking the entire nation to pay attention to this one thing. And to me, that's where you go from information to entertainment, when media decides this one trial, this one case should capture all these headlines. And then all of a sudden you do have riots taking places in different cities and marches, and people are saying, look at the response from the people. They really care about the story. They don't really care about the story. They're being force-fed a story that is being glamorized and blown out of proportion by a national media.
Well, Ben, true. I'm back. And I've been listening in. And I did not cover the Zimmerman case specifically because of that, because there was so many other things going on in the news. Mm-hmm. But when I saw what you were just speaking about the civil rights violation, and I was watching an alternative media outlet that I won't name their names. However, they produced several videos claiming that there were huge riots going on when it was just one windshield on a car that was broken, one building that had graffiti put on it, and one storefront that was smashed in. If anyone remembers the Rodney King, that was rioting. Right. This is not rioting. And it seems to permeate when people are looking for justification for predictions that they have made that things will happen, that they will take any little bit of information in the news that the news catches. Like, there were people who were arrested in L.A., but during the protest vigils over Sunday and Monday. However, they were only arrested because they were blocking traffic on a major highway and causing congestion for the commuters. It wasn't anything nefarious. So like you were saying, they're making this out to be something that it's not. And it makes me wonder, if the alternative media is being part of this, what is the agenda that's going on?
Well, the mainstream media, in fact, one of these talking heads has even said that this is about social engineering. Some black leader has come out and said, look, more white people need to be killed in order for you to understand. Zimmerman ain't even white. Okay, it's like, okay, dig this.
He's not, he's Hispanic.
They haven't even told us that he ain't white. And then for some reason it's the white man's fault, and for some reason there's, there needs to be riots and there needs to be white people killed because a Hispanic guy killed a black guy.
Well, and the fact that you even refer to him as white, and they're calling him white Hispanic. You know, which is a ridiculous term to use for someone. And if you're calling him white Hispanic because of the fact that he has Anglo, you know, heritage, and he has Hispanic heritage, so do most of the news anchors out there, by the way, who go out there and use Hispanic last names in order to get jobs and write on their application that they are Hispanic. So to refer to George Zimmerman as a white Hispanic is again, it's disingenuous to the argument, because you're trying to create this racial situation. Race may have played a part in it. I'm not saying it did or it didn't, but that's up to the jury to decide. And it's also just because, you know, someone's race was a part of what was happening there does not mean that George Zimmerman was not acting in self-defense. And it doesn't mean that George Zimmerman wasn't acting in self-defense. But again, to take this one case and to micro-focus on it, when you have people all over the country who are dying violent deaths due to a struggle or accidental shootings or intentional shootings or beating deaths, and to make one case the focus of hour upon hour upon hour upon hour of news coverage, it's frankly quite sickening. And to your point, Suzanne, I think the reason alternative media is getting involved in it is because they feel like they're getting left out of a big story. Like, why are you not talking about this story? Isn't it so important? I have personally stayed out of it as well, as much as I can, except for I did post on my Facebook, I got to tell you, this one clip from Piers Morgan. There was a young lady who was a friend of Trayvon Martin who was on the show, and Piers Morgan asked her, and I have the clip up on my Facebook. You can go to Ben Swan, facebook.com/BenSwanRealityCheck, and you'll see it there. But Piers Morgan asked her, well, what's this about him being referred to as a cracker? What's a cracker? And then this woman's like, no, that's not a bad term. Cracker means like law enforcement or security guard. So when Trayvon called him a something-ass cracker, I can't remember what it was, crazy-ass cracker, I think is what it was.
Trayvon was just implying that he goes good with cheese.
Well, no, even worse than that, that would make more sense. She says Trayvon was just saying that he thought he was a police officer or thought that he was a security guard. I'm sorry, Piers Morgan, somebody buy this man the Urban Dictionary. There is no reference to Kraka as being a security guard anywhere in there. Anyone who knows anything knows what a Kraka is in slang lingo.
Well, guys, we're going to head off to break. We're going to continue this on the other side, folks. Don't go away. You're listening to the Region 10 Report with Ben Swan and Vinny Eastwood.
Fight the last freedom of imagination, or drowning pop culture of the biggest nation, with armies of idiots brandishing brand names of one corporation or conflagration, the most holy train wreck of all human history. Tell me how you feel.
Hey everyone, we are back and we are talking with Ben Swan and Vinny Eastwood. And folks, before we went on break, we were talking about this garbage surrounding the acquittal of George Zimmerman and the civil rights violation.
Is that specifically a reference to Piers Morgan? Because I think on the Operation Info Jam Facebook page, their picture is Piers Morgan with the word garbage imprinted on his forehead.
Well, he offered to deport himself. I think that might be a good opportunity for him.
Why would he offer to behead himself? I'm sorry, that's not...
Oh, come on now.
That's a little bit harsh.
A little bit, yeah.
Now, on that clip that you were referencing, Ben, was it the same clip where they were explaining the difference between using the N-word with an A at the end and using the N-word with an ER at the end and what the difference is?
That's not on the clip that I posted. That conversation certainly might have been part of it. I mean, I could barely handle the little bit that I posted, just because it was so nonsensical, you know. And again, it becomes this look. The story itself, it's not enough, I guess, that you're beating this story to death over the acquittal of George Zimmerman, and it's just going for days and days and days, and it's like you're trying to make something so desperately out of this story that I think a rational, reasonable person looking at it would say it's simply not there. You guys do know, too, that George Zimmerman is suing NBC. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. What for?
He's filed a suit against NBC because early on during the investigation, NBC ran a report saying or playing part of the 911 call when Zimmerman, remember, he kept calling, claiming there was someone in the neighborhood. And the lawsuit claims that NBC selectively edited the content of that phone call. And so the way they played it, George Zimmerman is saying, there's this guy out here wandering back and forth, and he looks like he's up to no good. I think he's black. Then when you actually play the full content of it, and that's what the lawsuit is over, is the full content of the call, Zimmerman says, there's a guy out here walking around aimlessly, and I don't know where – he doesn't look like he's supposed to be here, and I'm concerned about him. And the 911 dispatcher says, okay, can you describe him to me? Is he white? Is he black? Or is he Hispanic? And Zimmerman says, I think he's black. And so they removed the fact that that was a question and made it a statement on his in this call. NBC says, of course, it was an accident. It was just poorly edited. And there was
no
attempt. They weren't trying to mislead people. But
did you happen to see the clip? This local radio, television station was giving the names of some of the captains that passed away in that crash. And some of the names were like... Holy Folk, We Too Low, Bing Bang Ow.
What are you talking about?
There was a local.
Did I just jump into a totally different conversation?
It was so funny. Television station was reading off the names of the captains who passed away in the flight from the Asia. Flight that was supposed to that crashed before it landed in San Francisco.
Okay.
And so they claimed that they didn't read the names before they went to air. They just went ahead and aired them. And when you see it on the screen, it says Holy Fuk, We Too Low, Bing Bang Ow, I mean, if anybody in their right, I'm serious.
Wow.
And the airline is suing them for airing that.
So what did this text come from? Was it a graphics person who just wrote crazy things, or do you know where it came from?
They blamed it on an intern coming out of the transportation board that they had contacted to get information on the crash. And this person relayed the names of these captains to them. And they said in their apology that they didn't read them phonetically. They just aired it.
They didn't read it phonetically.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the legend of Ron Burgundy. Exactly. He will read anything you put on that teleprompter. Anything.
I'll put a question mark after his name. I am Ron Burgundy.
Go flatter yourself, San Francisco.
Well, see, and that's why we're launching this Truth in Media project. You know, we're putting this project together because the idea is that mainstream media has just lost so much credibility with America. There's a new Pew poll out. You guys might have seen it that says that only 28% of Americans feel that journalists contribute any positive thing to society. And 28% of the people, that means what? What? 72% of the people say they contribute nothing positive to society? That's incredible. Yeah.
They don't know the difference between a journalist. Maybe they don't know the difference between a journalist and a reporter.
Well, and I think that most of them really feel like they've watched too much of this, and so they don't take it serious. You know, when you do have people, and I don't want to beat up on Piers Morgan because I'm always beating up on this poor guy, but when you have someone like Piers Morgan who just gets up and pontificates and nothing is based in fact, it's all based on trying to create a media personality for himself that he's hoping will eventually catch on. And at some point, CNN will have to cut him loose because it's never going to. But, you know, he does this. When you have people who refuse to deal with facts, I think the public is now at a point where they just don't expect it anymore. And so they're just tuning out. And that's why with this project, what we want to be able to do is create content that we're going to place online and on streaming sites that gets back down to really chasing facts and stories and presenting the facts of whatever's going on. So, for instance, on my website over at benswann.com, it's BenSwann.com, you can go there and check out. We've done two stories to give people an idea of what we're putting together because we're raising funds right now to do this. And the first one is on the NSA, and the second one is on Al-Qaeda in Syria. And if you go and watch those stories, we're not leaving anything here as an issue of opinion, of how I feel about things. Rather, it's here are the facts of what's going on in Syria. Here are the facts of what was happening with the NSA. And we're trying to cut through all this noise that media is making and get down to what it actually means to your constitutional rights and you know, civil liberties.
That's wonderful. That we need more people that are doing that. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm in a minority, and I know Vinny does as well, because all of our peers, everyone that we're lumped into in this alternative media, we're kind of wading through all the garbage, trying to shine like a little flashlight or butane lighter and say, hey, we're here. You can actually get some real facts here. You don't have to get what are called articles that are actually op-ed pieces with with a couple of citations that don't actually mean anything when you go and click on them.
That's right. Well, and that's what it's turned into. What media has done in this country is we have made this amazing leap from taking things that are facts and making them sound like opinions, and then taking our opinions and making them sound like facts. And that's why I think the American public is so confused much of the time over a lot of these issues. So, for instance, the piece that we did on the NSA and Edward Snowden, we looked at the fact that media is so disingenuous in the way they've talked about the story, because they've made the whole thing about Snowden, about what kind of guy he is and what his girlfriend is like and whether he ran to China and Russia and what that actually means. And they've talked about Glenn Greenwald and whether he hates America. It's about all these other things. And then what they've ignored are the facts of the case, and that is whether or not what the NSA has been doing and continues to do is actually a crime. And so what we did with our story was pointed out what media has been doing and then said, let's get down to the facts of what the NSA was doing, why they say they have the right, and whether or not they do have that right. And I think when people go and look at that, they'll see clearly that we make a pretty clear journalistic case as to what's going on. Not because we want to change your opinion, but we want you to have some facts in this sea of opinion.
Well, sure. If people are going to form an opinion based on facts as opposed to other opinions, then they're more likely, I would think, to get up and do something. Because at this stage in the game, I'm telling my audience as over and over again, the people who are awake need to start doing something. Mm-hmm. We need to start making our voice being heard. We need to have a march on Monsanto on every common enemy that we have. We need to stop participating in the system as much as possible. Close your bank account if you can do it. Stop buying the products that are killing you. Have your own garden. Use food and herbs as medicine instead of going to the pharmaceutical industry that is paid to kill you.
Well, you have to take action. I agree with you that action has to be taken on a local level, has to be taken in our own personal lives. But I also think, and part of what I'm working on is you have to be able to start influencing the national conversation, because there is an entire several generations of Americans who have been kind of left out of any reasonable debate in this country. And so we're watching all of these rights and constitutional liberties disappear. But when you turn on the TV, everyone's telling you it's okay. It's all right. There's not a problem here. You're going to be just fine. And the right does it and the left does it. And see, what we try to do is cut through that left-right paradigm, because I believe that's a false paradigm, that everything is not based upon someone on the right and someone on the left and how they view things. I think many times those on the right and the left are actually making the same claims. They're just doing it from a different angle. And so what we want to do is interject truth into it. And I think if you interject truth into the conversation, it will ultimately push people back toward liberty, but as you mentioned, it also pushes you back towards personal responsibility.
I
had a Facebook status just the other day. It says, when you tell the truth, you offend both sides of every major argument, because both sides right. are rarely telling the truth.
That's right. That's
and you were talking
true.
About rights there. And I also posted, incidentally, yesterday about rights according to Bill Cooper. A right is when you draw a line in the sand and kill those who cross it. That's paraphrasing, of course. But in general, you actually have no inherent rights unless you defend them with force of will, force of words, or plain old-fashioned forts. The only rights you actually are guaranteed is put up, shut up, or pay up.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, one thing we have to keep in mind, too, though, is that all of these rights that we have in the debate that takes place in media – because what media wants to do is they want to be able to say all these rights you've been guaranteed. And the left does it when it comes to the Second Amendment. The right does it when it comes to, you know, due process, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth Amendment. And so, you know, we have this dueling conversations about what rights you actually have or don't have. And I truly believe that what media wants to do is they want to be able to say to you, look, all these rights that you think that you have, those were given to you a long time ago. But today, you can't possibly have those rights because it makes us unsafe. When in fact, if you go back to what the founders and framers created, they believed – go back and read what they wrote, but also look at what they did. These guys believed that the rights of the individual were greater than the rights of the state, or certainly even the rights of the greater good. The individual was sovereign in their eyes. The greater good concept did not apply. And what I mean by that is the founders and framers did not write, you have the right to bear arms, okay? But if everyone else feels uncomfortable with you owning a weapon, you can't have one. They didn't say that. But we have morphed now into a position where we're saying that. We're saying, hey, listen, these guys couldn't have imagined crazy people having weapons. Of course they could. There weren't crazy people in 1776.
Absolutely.
The population's been dumbed down so much that they haven't even read the Constitution. They didn't even know about the Declaration of Independence. They can't quote it. They have no idea what American history is, because American history has been reduced to the most boring subject in school. Have you noticed that? There was actually a study released a number of years ago, I believe, that said that history teachers are indeed the hardest to find in America now, because they've reduced
the reality of history from giving people their rights, exposing scumbaggery, fighting against tyranny, giving people inherent power, sovereign rights, as opposed to giving the monarch the only person with sovereign rights and everybody else being a slave, the subterfuge, the bankers, all of these things that are actually intensely important and even more interesting have been reduced to the Civil War. What year was it? And what date? What such and such and blah, 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 blah. What location? Where was the Gettysburg Address? So on and so forth. It's been reduced so that nothing actually matters.
And the other thing that they've
result,
done...
people think that America no longer matters anymore. The Constitution no longer matters anymore. The Bill of Rights no longer matters anymore. Why? Because they have no idea why they were so important in the first place.
Well, absolutely. And just real quick, the other part of that is that they forget also, because they haven't been taught this, that very first little bit of language that's used in the Declaration, of course, everyone loves to quote the part about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We like to use that term. But remember, the very first words are, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But those words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, means this document, the Constitution of the United States, does not guarantee your rights, and it does not create your rights. It merely points out rights that are in and of themselves self-evident. So when we have these arguments back and forth, and I think this is an interesting discussion because I hear so many people talking about our war on terror, and I have a huge issue with how we conduct drone strikes around the world, the number of people we're killing and calling collateral damage. We're doing all this in the name of our own security and safety. And we love to say, well, those people aren't American, and therefore they're not entitled to constitutional rights. Well, actually, certainly under our Declaration of Independence, the founders and framers believed they did. Not because they were guaranteeing their rights, but if you say we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they're all entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, killing innocent people in other countries, including men, women, and children, and calling their deaths collateral damage.
We're coming to break here. We're coming to break here,
Ben. It's ludicrous. All right, I'll jump out. Okay.
Denying the times of the lower at ease, when at odds with establishment, iron war upkeep, while asking one question for answering it first, as the central intelligence eats the whole world. Tell me how you feel.
We are back, and we are talking with Ben Swan and Vinnie Eastwood on the Region 10 Report. And we were talking about Constitution and people's rights and all of what's going on in the main and the alternative news. And Ben, are you still doing the Full Disclosure Project?
That's what we're working on. That's what the Truth in Media Project is. We're trying to crowdsource in order to raise the funds to start doing those reports. And then ultimately what we want to do is launch an internet news network that will be streaming 24/7. It will have, kind of the alternative mainstream media style, but it will pull over information from alternative media. It will be kind of a user-friendly platform so that people can upvote, downvote the way they do on Reddit, and they can read stories there. So we started out on Kickstarter. We actually have moved off of Kickstarter because we weren't going to make our goal, and it's an all or nothing. So we're asking people – we raised $250,000 in 30 days. So we're asking people to move that over to PayPal, which you can find on our website at benswan.com, and to fund the stuff there. And so right now we have funded up to 4 episodes, and we're going to keep going from there. So I'm very pleased with it. But it's a great chance for grassroots to get involved.
I just want to give you this.
Absolutely, we need that.
That is excellent.
And Ben, I just wanted to offer, if you need contributors, I'm absolutely more than willing to contribute my articles and all the stuff that I do to this project.
That's great. We'd love to have that. If you go to the website right now, we already have some that we've started putting up from contributors, because it shouldn't just be my voice. But ultimately, when we launch the network, that's what we really want to bring in. Faces and voices and journalists who have done a lot of work for a long time in a lot of different areas. And we want to bring them in and give them a voice, because right now, you turn on mainstream media and it's so many broadcasters and talking heads who have never bothered to actually research anything. And so many of them are just reading copy that was written for them by some producer. But we wanted to bring in people
some
who
producer
have been...
who works for the Department of Defense, no doubt.
Yeah, some of that too. And, you know, we want to bring folks in who say, listen, I've been studying drones for years, and this is the research I've done on it, and this is what I know about it, and this is what I've been tracking. And, you know, if you go across the internet, there are so many of those folks out there who are doing that work. And it's like, well, let's get this out where people can hear it and they can see it and confront people with the reality of what's happening in our country.
Yes, we do need that. We absolutely do, because even even in the alternative circles, you know, there's so many voices out there that we need something that is palatable to people who are waking up and people who haven't woken up, and then the people who are woken up. And so it will get information to people who wouldn't normally look at an alternative news site, because maybe the alternative news site looks really wacky and they feel uncomfortable going there. But if it is comparable to what they're used to, and they're getting good information instead of more garbage that they can regurgitate at the water cooler the next day, that's the point.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And it's actually a three-level platform that we're working on. So the first level is the information part of it. And the idea there is we obviously want to inform people and get this information out there in a way that's useful. And one of the reasons I say that is because over the 2.5 years that I did this segment called Reality Check, and a lot of people know me from that, when I interviewed President Obama, I interviewed Mitt Romney and talked a lot about things like the Federal Reserve and drone strikes and the NDAA, you know, et cetera. We want to take that information, because I've heard from so many people that, you know, they'll say, I've talked for years to family members about this stuff and coworkers about this stuff. And as I've gone through like years and years of this process, they say they don't ever listen to me. And then I get one of these clips of this guy in a suit talking about this, and I show it to them. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And so I didn't decide that people learn this way. This is how people learn today. They learn through media. They learn through video, they learn through text and graphics. I didn't decide it, but I think that I can, and we can take advantage of the fact that people learn that way to actually use it for something other than brand new episodes of Honey Boo Boo. And we
use
can take
the
that
weapon.
And put it
use
out there.
Use the weapon
absolutely.
Of the enemy against them.
They created the system, so let's use it. So that's the first part, is to inform people. The second part is to engage them, which is to take this information and use it to educate your family and educate your friends and create dialogue. Use it with students on college campuses. Use it with journalists and teach them how to report and research outside of the traditional broadcast box. Work with Tea Party groups and Occupy groups, religious and faith-based groups. So take that and engage people. And then the third level is to activate people. What we really want to do is crowdsource solutions to a lot of the problems we have in our country right now, because those solutions aren't going to come from Washington. They're not going to come from lobbyists, certainly. They're not going to come from corporations. They're going to come from people who say, here's how we fix this problem. We crowdsource solutions, and as the people of the United States, we work to get laws passed on our behalf rather than, you know, the 13,000 lobbyists who are working in Washington, D.C. right now getting laws passed on their behalf.
That is amazing. That is so necessary right now. Absolutely. Thank you for doing that, for putting this together.
Well, I think, you know, and it's not just me that's doing it. I appreciate that, but it's not just me. What I need are for people to get behind this project and help make it happen, because there are so many people who say we need it, and there are so many people who say, hey, it's great, it's fantastic, I'm glad you're doing it. And then, you know, they go back to sleep. And so what we need are people to get engaged with it and say, all right, let's try to make something here. You know, journalism by the people, for the people, and let's make it happen. And so it's a challenge. But, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there who need to be fighting this fight, not just for the sake of the future, but for their own sake. You know, we get caught up in a world that's pretty superficial, and it's time to work on changing things and making them better.
Absolutely it is. And at this juncture right now, with everything that's happening, and it's happening so fast. And meanwhile, while people are talking about Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman, I wrote this article about this bill that was created by the banking elite, handed off to the head of the House Financial Services Committee, passed, approved for them, and now it's sitting ready to go out to the House floor, that will completely destroy any homeowner's chance of suing to keep their house or get their house back. And it legitimizes the MERS system, which was illegal to begin with. And so while we're complaining about all this stuff and we're paying attention to the dog and pony show, more of our right to due process, our right to property in this country is being destroyed right now as we speak. And no one is paying attention, or not enough people are paying attention.
No, you're absolutely right. They're not paying attention. The media has lulled them to a nap, and they're all sleeping through it. And there's also kind of, you know, excuse the terminology here, but there's kind of this false prophet kind of mentality out there in media that says everything's fine, everything's going to be fine, don't worry, you know, just go back to whatever you were doing, go back to, you know, your reality TV and go back to your Apple products, because there's not going to be any problems. Everything's going to get back to normal and everything's going to be great. And it's not going to be great unless people get involved and start forcing change. Change does not happen on its own. Someone is forcing it. The question is, who is able to prevail in forcing change? And I think right now, the people in this country who have common purpose in terms of restoring liberty need to fight to restore it, because if you don't believe this, there are plenty of people on the other side who are fighting to take it away from you. They're winning that fight right now, and we've got to change it. That's why I go around saying liberty is rising. I believe that liberty is rising. The opportunity is, more people are awake now than have been in some time, but our window is limited, and we've got to do something.
Yes, absolutely. Because with every year, they pass more legislation. They create situations where we don't have the right to fight back, and we can't fight back because of all the bureaucracy. And then before you know it, we're not going to be able to speak, because the thought police are going to get us before we can, before it comes out of our mouths. They've gotten us on the thought.
Well, it is. You know, the whole idea from Minority Report of pre-crime, you know, it made for a great movie.
Wait, hold on a second.
Oh,
isn't
gosh.
That what the Trayvon Martin... Isn't that what the Trayvon Martin story is? A Minority Report?
I knew we were going somewhere near there. You were actually more more reserved than I thought you were going to be, so I'm grateful for that.
Mention my name in the bathroom; they'll give me a good seat.
But it is the whole pre-crime idea is. It's reality now. I mean, that's where we are today. And this idea that everyone's watching and listening. I was on a radio show last night. They had some hilarious commercials built into it. But one of them was this commercial that proposes that everyone start talking as much as they can in every conversation using terms that would designate you a terrorist in your everyday conversations. Talk about using a fertilizer truck when you're talking about taking the kids to soccer practice, and just everything you can to try to screw up the NSA so that they can't, their surveillance program falls apart because everyone's using these terms.
I drop my kids off to soccer practice in a fertilizer truck.
That would be great.
So, I mean, I think that's where we are right now. We live in a pre-crime era, and the reality is it's not making us any safer. Nobody's safer because of all the things that are happening. You know, what we're seeing, though, is as all that's taking place, and Suzanne, I think you were alluding to this a minute ago, while all that's happening, everyone's ignoring the real issues of all this wealth at the top and corporations that are controlling what's going on at the top, and so little is trickling down to where people are. And don't get me wrong, I don't believe that we have to feed everyone at the bottom and we've got to redistribute wealth. I'm a free market guy. But to me, capitalism and free market means getting corporations out of the legislative process, because crony capitalism is not capitalism. It is a collusion between government and corporations that many would say is fascism. And that's what we're seeing more and more of today, is this collusion between, you know, government and corporations.
Oh, absolutely. Ben, I'm going to have to schedule you back on, because the 1 hour is just not enough with you.
I
have to say that right now.
But no, it's awesome. People, to jump over to benswan.com. You can check out the project there. We have a lot of details about it. Again, it's BENSWANN.com. And you can check out the Truth and Media project there.
Yes, everybody support this man. And we will be right back. Vin Eastwood is going to stick around. Ben, thank you so much for coming on my show. It was a thrill for me.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
listening to the Region 10 Report with your host, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com, where the alternative media gets their news. This show will expose the elite domination plan, disinfo agents, propaganda, corporate control, and the UN plan to strip the world of its freedom and the U.S. of its constitution. This is the Region 10 Report with Suzanne Posel, bringing you the real truth behind the news. We're gonna lay you off!
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us to the second hour of the Region 10 Report. I have Vinny Eastwood staying along with me. Vinny, you did a broadcast just recently with Thomas Sheridan and James Corbett and Jay Widener, and that was some of the best radio that I've heard in a long time. I was listening to it late last night. Actually, my husband wanted to go to bed, and I was still listening to it, and I didn't want to leave. I didn't catch the last couple of, like, 20 or 30 minutes of it because I was being forced to go to bed. I was just riveted by this entire conversation. What prompted this?
Actually, I just asked Thomas Sheridan, you know, do you want to have a – if you wanted to do a show, bro, you know, just chuck me some names and I'll put it together. And he throws out this name, Jay Widener. He throws out this name, James Corbett, to have a roundtable discussion about psychopaths. And that's kind of who I am and what I do. I'm kind of like marijuana. I bring people together,
sitting around at a table.
You know, pass it on, preferably to the left. And What was good about this this conversation is well, look at it this way. If you got one of these, just one of these guests by themselves is a really riveting conversation. Two of them, oh my God. But three, oh frack.
Absolutely.
And you know what the worst thing about this is? When I was uploading these videos last night, the full version didn't work. So there's only the first hour there with Thomas Sheridan and Jay Widener, and the second hour with James Corbett joining us as well, ain't up there. And I don't know what caused that. And the conspiracy theorist within me.
Psychopaths were listening to you.
Totally, bro. They're totes cray cray. And I was... I'm not paranoid, like, by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I'm past that kind of to a degree, or rather, I never actually really entered into it, because instead of paranoia, I normally use depression or rage in order to justify my existence, and I think. Maybe it's part of the fact that I'm really large, you know. I'm 6'4", so I determined a while ago, you know, I'm 6'4". What the hell can I hide from? Nothing, you know. No matter where I go, they will find me. So I would rather live my life free of fear, psychopathy, and scumbaggery, and instead make them afraid. Expose their scumbaggery. After all, it's people like Thomas Sheridan and Jay Widener who have experienced these people firsthand, and indeed can explain in intense detail what these things are about. But they didn't mention any of these personal stories on air. That was mostly off air, and I'm not going to publish those conversations because, look, it's not about censorship. It's about journalistic responsibility, okay? These men have literally put themselves on the line to expose a mentality or a parasite or whatever it is that you want to call it that is currently ruling the planet, okay? And as a direct result, there are certain things that they can't do or say on air for fear of retaliation. And they're right to fear the retaliation of psychopaths. As anybody who has ever dealt with a psychopath knows, they have no scruples. They don't have any rules that they abide by. No morals,
no ethics. If you wanted to get revenge on somebody as a generally kind of decent person, and you've suddenly just been, you know, flipped off the handle, and you feel that you want justice, so you want to destroy a scumbag's life or whatever, you know, you want to, I don't know, expose somebody as being a bad person, a liar, a thief, or a cheat, or an abusive scumbag, or somebody who's defamatory, or so on and so forth. There's ad infinitum reasons to be a reasonable person and want to expose a very, very bad, evil, disgusting person. The problem is, if you're exposing a psychopath, and instead of just a douchebag, they will retaliate in such a ways that you cannot predict. You know why? Because you don't think like a psychopath. That's why you can't predict what they will do to you. You have morals. You have ethics. So there's certain things you won't do. For example, if you were really upset with somebody stealing your home or something like that, you know, you'd take them to court. You'd create a blog and tell the truth and get it out there to people. A psychopath would just kill the person. Or torture their children in front of them, you know? Like, whoa, step the frack back. You know what I'm saying? They'll start up websites about you, defaming your name. They literally want to destroy everything about you. They don't just want you to learn a lesson. They want you to be destroyed. If they had the ability to get away with murder, they'd kill you. Okay? If they had the ability to get away with kidnapping and raping your children, they'd do it. This is the kind of people that we're dealing with here. They're absolutely very, very dangerous.
And they are consumed by it. They think about you day and night. They have other people watching your every move. And it makes people who are trying to expose these people nervous because, like you said, they don't think like a sociopath or a psychopath, so they don't expect the retaliation from where it's coming from. It comes from places that they're not even paying attention to. And then all of a sudden, they're in a situation that they don't understand how they got in there. And it's a serious situation that they don't even have time to think. They just have to react. And to put someone in that position is absolutely egregious. There's no word for that.
Actually, there is. It's a four-letter word, and it rhymes, and it's evil. And that's basically what psychopaths are. The old adage, you know, the dark versus the light, the black versus white sort of mentality, you know, in the Bible, demons, etc., that kind of thing. That is what these people most closely embody. And it is indeed some, like, in my opinion, a real manifestation of evil on this plane of existence. These people are suckers of Satan's lollipop, each and every one of them. And they deserve to be exposed. The problem is, if you expose them, you go down for doing so, and they won't wind up being exposed invariably a lot of the time. So one of the things that was reiterated a number of times on the program, and I want to stress this to the audience, if you have a psychopath in your midst, somebody without a conscience, somebody who enjoys inflicting human suffering, somebody who is a deceptive scumbag, somebody who has a gaggle of scum cronies around them pretty much at all times because they're that frickin' vain, do not attempt to engage them. Do not attempt to bring them around. Run. Run your ass off. These people will frack up your life. And it doesn't matter whether or not they're offering you business opportunities or wanting to bring you on their radio shows or anything like that. Run. Run your ass. Nothing good can come from an interaction with these people. They are toxic, okay? They're a cancer on this world, a parasite of the soul, quite literally, in fact. One of the other interesting parts that came up in the conversation was surprising to me, a general agreement between these experts on psychopaths that they actually have a transmittable infection of the mind. They're actually capable of turning you into a psychopath. That was the scariest thing for me. And,
well, how is that accomplished?
Well, I don't know how it's accomplished, but they accomplish it nonetheless. The old adage of if you go to hell and you come back, you bring back hell with you. And this is what happens to it. In fact, I believe a lot of truthers, even some friends of mine, that they've had their head in the darkness for so long that it's corrupted their minds and they can no longer see the light. And this is something that I found intensely interesting, because those who are exposing psychopaths are actually in danger of becoming them through contact. This is something that I find very interesting, and that's why these psychopaths have these gaggle of scum following them around. You know, these are people who have, again, just like them, no scruples. Like, perhaps they never achieved any form of independence. Like, they never bothered to leave home, and they blame the world for their problems. And anybody who critiques them and said, you know what, you lied, you were really nasty to me, and that kind of stuff, that instead of going, you know what, I was actually a bit of a douchebag there, I'm sorry, they say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, you know, and make it out like it's your fault. You know, these kind of people, we've all met them. Thomas Sheridan calls them proto-psychopaths. It's like, have you ever seen the film Blade, where they have what they call familiars, which are humans who serve the vampires, okay, in the hopes that one day they can be turned? That's kind of a filmographic version of what these people kind of are, these low, slovenly scum who want to obtain the evil, who want to be blessed with a lack of a conscience.
This is amazing, because it permeates. People get into relationships with people like this. They get into friendships and business deals with people like this. We have these people running our country and other countries. The puppets that they get to front their garbage are usually the minions that want to be part of it, and you can tell by the fact that Obama shows up in a small town with a 300-car entourage and 50 cops driving by. It takes like an hour for his entourage to drive by. That's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, that's, I know he's the president. Yes.
That's psychopathic. And this is another thing that psychopaths love and can't get enough of, is an entourage. They feed off of human energy. They feed off attention. So they often have these large meetings that they always have to meet in person. Like, digital is not enough. These people need to be in the very presence of people. And I theorize that this might be because they realize that they're infectious, and they realize that they're capable of recruiting and deceiving new saps into their fold. But they can only do it in person. They're enchanting. They project this image of greatness, of respect, and so on and so forth. You know, you look up to them, sort of thing. Only once you realize what they are, what is behind those dull cow eyes, only once you're capable of identifying the behavioral patterns of a psychopath, can you even understand what it is that you are dealing with and decide whether or not you want to continue to be in their way. You know what I'm saying? And anybody, I believe, who chooses to engage these psychopaths in a positive way and just say, oh, well, you know, maybe they're just misunderstood, maybe psychopathy isn't really that bad, you are under the influence, okay? You've bought into their deception. This is something that they're incredibly talented at, is deceiving en masse. These are the kind of people who crave admiration from other people. All right. So you'll find these people in the power centers of society. The American Medical Journal states that there were a number of different places, a number of different careers that you're most likely to find them, which would be business, entertainment, politics, religious gurus, and lawyers, because those are positions of trust. And psychopaths love to deceive people into trusting them.
And the people that hang around them, it appears that they might have issues with liking being abused. You know, I know that's terrible English, but that they enjoy being abused, that they identify, unless they're being abused, they don't feel like they're loved or cared for.
It's more like they're easily manipulated, and psychopaths are master manipulators. So it's one on top of the other, and it often actually stems from abuse in your past. If you've been abused and people haven't shown you love, you've got nothing to compare it to. So you think that this is just the way it is kind of thing. So you put up with it, much like a beaten wife syndrome or whatever it's called. And that's the really sad thing, really, is because these people are such scum, and it's not necessarily their fault that they turned into scum. It's probably environmental and their parents and things like that. And a psychopath uses that to their own advantage. Like, let's say somebody come out and expose a psychopathic radio show host or something like that. What he'll do is they'll get a group of his crony scum to come out and say things about you, defame you, set up fake websites, make videos or do radio broadcasts where the entire point of it is to isolate you, essentially. And we'll talk about more of that when I come back from break.
Absolutely, folks. You're listening to the Region 10 Report, and we have Vinny Eastwood on the show.
Denying the times of the low were at ease, weren't at odds with establishment, iron wore upkeep, while asking one question for answering it first, as the central intelligence eats the whole world. Tell me how you feel.
Hey everyone, we're back. The CIA and the everybody, they're just destroying everything and all of the crap that we see on television, and the news looks just like the movies. So, you know, does it matter if you're watching a sitcom or the evening news? Not really. And we have to deal with people who are in our daily lives, literally trying to make us crazy and destroy us, and then pointing the finger and saying, he or she is crazy. Look at him.
Well, I think we're suffering from a predominant insanity module. I think would be as I'd describe it, where insanity is normal and to be sane is rare. You know what I'm saying? The entirety of society is breaking apart at the seams because of this. Like here's a measure of insanity: my life is going to hell. Therefore, I'm going to dump on everybody else in my life whose life is also going to hell, because instead of dealing with my own issues, I'm going to point out all of their issues in order to make myself feel better.
Right. Instead of saying, okay, it sucks right now. How can I fix this? What can I do? Starting right now, make a list if you have to. Change your life. Everything you do is your own choice.
You know, did you know that if you help other people, if you're altruistic, if you're generous, you actually live longer. You actually become happier. No matter how crappy your finances are, or how crappy the living situation that you're in is, if you're helping people and you're doing what's good by humanity or by the homeless or whatever, your brain tells you that you're a good fracking person. And it's very, very difficult to get depressed because you're surrounded by all of this positive reinforcement. I helped that person, that person, that person, that person. You know, like there's been days when I've helped over a dozen activists either get information out there or amplify their voice at a protest with a megaphone and getting their articles out there for them, or they need people invited to their conferences and things like that. And I do it, you know. It's not because I freaking have to or I've got some kind of obligation. It's because I actually care about these people. You know, I don't want to sit around while I have the ability to help them who can't help themselves and just dump on them and say, oh, you're all in your own thing. And this is my problem with a lot of people. You know, they always think, oh, we're on my own. You know, it's like, no, dude, you're not separate. You are part of an indivisible whole. OK, the word individual means not separate. You know that? So if you're an individual, it means that you must recognize that you are part of a whole and start playing to the tune, yo, okay? If you are an individual who plays a piano and you have another individual who plays drums and another who's a lead singer and another who's a guitarist, you get those individuals together and they become a band, okay? This is what life is actually really about. Helping others and being a good person and finding out where you fit in with others, not dumping on others, not deceiving people about what the true nature of reality is. Frack that, Shiite Muslim. And psychopaths permeate this culture. And as a direct result, as I said, it's infectious. And I know one thing that it made me think about during the show when they told me of that infectious nature, that they're actually capable of overtaking your brain via having contact with them and destroying your ability to have emotions, destroying your ability to have empathy, destroying your ability to have creativity through persistent contact with these creatures is really scary. Because you know what that makes me wonder about? Whether or not it is possible to influence people digitally. Okay? So if you're listening to a psychopath on the radio, how long do you have to listen to him before you start to become like him? If you're listening to a psychopath on the mainstream media, in the news every night, how long does it take before you become exactly like them? Is that even possible? Or will you be like me, who as soon as you realize that this person's a lying, sociopathic piece of trash, that you never listen to them again? You never have anything to do with them? Because you can't. Yeah, there's no point. There's no benefit in it, you know? Somebody did a rap song about me, that one of the worst rap songs probably ever written. And I did a rap song back. And I haven't released it. I ain't gonna put it on my YouTube channel or anything like that. It's just for my personal enjoyment, so that whenever I'm feeling down or anything like that, I can listen to myself spitting rhymes and insulting the living frack out of this mother fracker who insulted me. Okay? That's for me. That's not for anybody else, because if I start to release it out there and this person finds out about it, he'll come back and attack me, and you know the whole Shiite Muslim storm will start all over again. That's what psychopaths do. Okay, so if you're going to expose one of these people, you have to do it absolutely covertly. Pseudonyms or fake websites and things like that. And you know what the problem is? Then you're using their own tactics against them, which means that your own morality, your own ethical standpoint by which you dominate your entire life, which makes you a good person, has become corrupted by the very people that you're trying to expose. You can't do anything with these people, okay? This is like, they're like radiation. You can't have any practical use for it, being around it as a human being. You need, and a suit ain't going to help you, because they can still penetrate through any protective layers that you think you have. Doesn't matter how well prepared your mind is. Doesn't matter how guarded your compound is. They will destroy you if you come after them. Don't come after them. Run away from them. Fight or flight, pick flight. Okay? Like the 9/11 hijackers.
Exactly. You know, the other thing about it is when they attack you, if you're a good person, I mean, you know, if you're the type of person that if someone needs something, you give it to them or you help them out or people know that they can trust you or you're just a really good person. When you're being attacked, you will have help. You will have help from all these people. They will not just, hey, man, can I help you? They will actually help you get back on your feet, get what you need done, get it right. Whatever the psychopath destroyed, they will make it right so that you can continue doing what you're doing.
They'll be there for you at 4 o'clock in the morning to have a 3-hour conversation with you to listen to your problems.
Yes.
Okay. As I have done for a number of people, because when they're in their time of need, what's more valuable? Your good friend who is being attacked and is very vulnerable, or you getting just an extra couple of hours sleep? I don't think that's a hard decision. And it's selfish, in other words. Like, I remember was it only a week back? How long have I been off from holiday? I don't think that long. I think I came back on the 8th. And I'd stayed up till 5:45 in the morning, 7:45 in the morning, and midday over 3 nights to finish 3 documentaries. One of which was about a guy who's exposing the council corruption at Auckland, and a bunch of psychopaths there were literally destroying his life, destroyed his business, took his home from him, threw him in jail for no reason, even gave him court orders and bail conditions that he can't even contact anybody for help or publish anything on the internet. So I edited all 3 hours of his testimony in a night. Okay? Nobody can do that. Nobody was prepared to do that for him except me. And that's the kind of guy I am. When you are in need, when you actually need me, I'm there for you. Psychopaths are the direct opposite of me. Okay? When you don't need them, they're there. When you don't want them, they're there. When you don't want them to do something to you, they'll do it. Okay? They are the antithesis of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Because they want death, slavery, and the pursuit of scumbaggery.
Absolutely. And their goal is to become the only voice out there. They want everyone to think the way that they do and act the way that they do. It makes them more comfortable.
Yeah, and that's part of the infectious thing. They literally can't be around other people who are perhaps like me because, well, basically, they're afraid of being exposed. That's why they so aggressively respond when people try to expose them, because that's their Achilles heel. That's their weakness, and this is the part of the reason why I really hope, Suzanne, that this interview that I did with Jay Widener, Thomas Sheridan, and James Corbett goes mega, mega, mega. Let me underline that one more time: mega viral, because the whole planet needs to know this information. The only reason why these archons, these psychopaths, these controllers, these heartless creatures have control is because people are uneducated about them. They do not know how to identify them. They do not know what tactics to use against them. And we hope to arm the good people out there with infallible truths by which they can base their conflict with these creatures on. They are so dangerous. And if you don't know your enemy, how are you going to fight them?
Well, the idea that I talk about a lot and Karen Quinn Tosato talks about a lot in the non-compliance. David Icke talks about that a lot. Don't comply with the system. Opt out. And in as many ways as possible. Is that the answer to the psychopath?
They're a gangrenous limb, basically. Amputate. As quickly and as cleanly as you can. If you got a business with them, leave your business, okay? Cut your losses. Even if you've sunk your entire life into it, trust me, just leave it. If they've stolen a brand name or a product from you or a patent or a name or something like that, it doesn't matter, okay? You will kill yourself and probably become one of them if you try to get back what they took from you. Remember that you are a human and they are inhuman. You have the ability to do things which they cannot. You can create from nothing. They can't do that. All they can do is steal other people's ideas, twist and distort. That's the limit of their functionality of creativity. They can deceive, but they can't really do anything without you to give them the energy. So if humanity, and I hope this is one of the ongoing effects, and in fact, I hope this radio show will become part of my legacy after I'm gone from this plane of existence. I hope that part of my legacy will be that I can help through this radio broadcast. This is probably the most important show that I've ever done in my life, and that's saying a lot because I've done over 1,000. I can actually help humanity to free itself from these parasitical organisms called psychopaths. That will be something hugely important. I fear for the future of humanity, and it hurts me in my heart to know that there are still people out there who are dealing with these scum, who are trying to fight them, and don't realize that stop fighting, okay? They need your energy. They feed off of it. Like, I don't know. It seems like there's some kind of a film that I might be thinking of where, Ghostbusters 2. You know what? Do you know what this big creature in the painting was feeding yes. off? The thing that was giving it its power, the thing that was allowing it to come to life, the thing that was allowing it to come back to this plane of existence, to dominate the world, human negativity. They feed off it, they thrive on it, and they create it within you. If you take yourself out of the equation, they have nothing to feed off. If you put a psychopath on an island, even if there's plenty of food for them and there's nobody around, they'll die in a couple of days. They need us to survive. We don't need them. But they're very capable of manipulating us into thinking that we do. That's why they cluster in government. What do the people in government say? You need us. Ooh, no, I don't. We'll be right back, I guess.
Wrong toe. No, we'll be right back, folks. We've got Vinny Eastwood from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, and you're listening to the Region 10 Report.
Fight the last freedom of imagination, a drowning pop culture of the biggest nation, with armies of idiots brandishing brand names of one corporation or conflagration, the most holy train wreck of all human history. Tell me how you feel.
Hello everyone, we are back. I think the biggest train wreck of all human history is these psychopaths who are just destroying not only on a grand scale the entire globe, but on a micro scale all of our lives, because we know people that act like this and we can't figure out how do they act like this. They're human just like we are. They bleed just like we do. How do they do these things to us and not feel anything? It doesn't make any sense to me. I know you and I've had...
It doesn't make any sense to you because you're not a psychopath, okay? If you were a psychopath, you'd completely understand being a callous piece of trash.
Yeah, we had multiple conversations about this because I just kept saying, how is it, why is this possible? How is this possible? I don't understand. And like we've discussed before, even in private, just walk away. The best revenge that I've gotten is that I have a great website. I have wonderful people who came and helped me. I have amazing people that have supported me since then. Oh, I have so one of the lucky. Biggest websites in alternative media. I have friends that have come since then to help and support me. And I couldn't ask for better. The best revenge for me has been to live well. And so that person... is forced to look at me and realize they can't touch me. And that to me is
well,
the
that's
best
because
revenge.
Yeah, but that's because you made your website unhackable.
I did.
Through much strain and stress, you know.
But it was wonderful friends who came and said, okay, this was destroyed. How can we help? Okay, we're going to do this for you. We're going to do, I pay a hefty price for it, but I pay just a fraction of what I actually should be paying because they are friends. And so I'm very grateful. And more people have come to me and put me on the radio shows and support what I do. And I'm very, very grateful. So that is by not engaging the psychopath and just by doing the best job that I can possibly do, I've actually been able to achieve revenge without trying.
Well, you know, and this is the thing. You destroy them by getting rid of their food source. Okay? Kind of like Monsanto.
Yes.
Yeah, they feed off off of you. And so, you know, just walk away. So they can't feed off of you. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, and I used to think about what's just, what is right. How dare this scumbag mess with my friends? I'm going to expose their scumbaggery and stuff like that. And now I'm like, Vinny, you were an idiot, man. How stupid of you to try and expose psychopathic individuals. Okay, just expose psychopaths in general, because that way none of them has an individual beef with you and comes after you. Well, actually, maybe after doing the show, I'll have every single psychopath on the whole planet after me. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, maybe they have like a little club that they all go to, and they'll put your picture up as next target.
Yeah. They'll be like at Skull and Bones or the Council on Foreign Relations. You know, like David Rockefeller will get up there and go in his evil Rockefeller voice. This person, Vinny Eastwood, is trying to expose our kind. We must destroy him. I want his head on a plate. I want his skin for a rug.
That was very, very terrifying. Don't do that again.
No worries, bro.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I see... You know, as I say, that people can't think like psychopaths. I've tried, and I think about I've come pretty close, but I don't want to step any further. Actually, it's mostly because of who my father was. My father's done some horrible things to people, man, and it occurs to me that I'm just like him in so many ways. What's the term? The sins of your fathers shall revisit you in life.
The sins of the father shall visit the son.
Yeah, and I feel that that's what's happened to me, is that I go through these spurts, like when I'm really angry or frustrated or something, I turn into a monster just instantly, and I'm a horrible person. I have this vicious side to me, You know, I mean, I'm always trying to put out to people that I'm really nice and I'm caring and I'm loving and I'm helping everybody. And it's true. But as much of a good person as I am, as much of a helper that I am, I'm just as bad. I'm the complete opposite to just as high a level. When I'm not good, you know, when I'm good, I'm really good. But when I'm bad, I'm really bad. I mean, the amount of times where I've abused Sarah and called her really horrific names and made her cry and things like that. And then when I snap out of it, I'm like, oh, my God, what have I done? What have I done? No. And then I profusely apologize and try and do this. And I feel guilty about who I am almost at all times, because I know that I am that capable of just being something akin to what a psychopath is. The difference being is I actually feel emotion. I feel regret. I feel guilt. I feel fear. These people don't. Okay. So however bad I can be, I always make up for it, and I don't do anything that I can't take back. Like I never lay a hand on anybody. I never destroy their personal property. You know, that's the thing that I won't do. But the fact that I have a forked tongue and am prone to giving out real sort of emotionally damaging abuse when I'm not in my right mind, when I'm sleep deprived or under extreme financial strain and stuff like that, scares the frack out of me, frankly, Suzanne. And this is probably one of the reasons why I want to talk about this subject of psychopaths, because they're like me in a lot of ways. And I don't like that part of myself. And so by exposing what a psychopath is and what a psychopath does, I'm actually coming to understand a part of myself, and maybe the hopes that I'll be able to eradicate that from my consciousness, from my mind. And I've been working on it, and gradually through the years, I've been getting better and better and better, but that darkness is still there. It hasn't yet been extinguished, and it scares me that I can be like that.
Well, it's cathartic for you, and that's something that we all need to work on. We all have things about us that we don't like, and some of them are bigger than others. But when we delve into and try and find ourselves, which it sounds like you're trying to do, is and identify this part of you that is part of you. And it's always going to be a part of you, probably. It's probably never going to be eradicated, but it will be something that you can become harmonious with and understand that part of you, so that you don't have to let it out. That you understand from that moment when you're about to switch the flip the switch, that you can say, okay, and step back and not actually go there, you know?
Well, I'm lucky that this country allegedly has free speech, and same with American Freedom Radio, because there are times when this demon within me comes out, and it's usually when the times where it's actually positive that this demon within me comes out is not when I'm insulting or hurting the people that are close to me, you know, friends, family, etc., who frustrate me. It's actually when I'm ranting about scumbags, okay? I believe that they deserve that dark part of me, you know? You know, I've given these really hearty rants through megaphones about how much hate and venom and vile feelings that I have towards these sociopathic pieces of trash that run our nations, that enslave our people, that poison our food and our air and our water, and they do so deliberately. They deserve to have some rage directed towards them. And if I can harness that part of me that I don't like and use it for something like that, I don't really have so much of a problem with that, because they, well, deserve it. They deserve to be hated. They deserve to be demonized. This is justice. Never underestimate the power of what a single person can do. And, you know, and throughout all of history, it's actually been small, organized groups of determined individuals that have actually accomplished anything. And all these collectivists, commies, and so on and so forth, they don't get that. So when they see me out there taking a stand for myself, representative of my nation, and indeed the planet, and I particularly respect the people of the United States for going what they're going through right now with their scumbaggery government. These people kind of criticize me, and they say that it's all about me. And it's like, nah, bro. I'm just using what's there so I can do something good for all. Because nobody else has really got the same ability that I have. Not the exact same ability anyway. And I'll contribute in whatever way that I can to expose scumbaggery, psychopathy, and to help those who need it most. Suzanne, thank you for having me on.
And, absolutely.
For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Vinny Eastwood. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. Eastwood as in go ahead. Make my news. And the archives to this show and my shows are at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And I'll be coming up next for those of you who are listening live.
Absolutely.